I've been accused of being paranoid. Hi, this is Justin Hitt with Inside Strategic Relations. Yes, I am paranoid about identity theft, financial fraud, and other factors that challenge high-income professionals and entrepreneurs. I've helped clients solve problems associated with procurement theft, for example. A procurement manager set up some fake companies, set up fake invoices, and next thing you know, the company was paying out tens of thousands of dollars to these companies that did not even exist. There was no method in place. There's no process in place to prevent that. Recently, some Chinese American friends have been targeted for fraud, where the scam is goes this way. Someone calls pretending they're from the Chinese consulate in New York City or the Chinese consulate in San Francisco. It really depends on what coast the mark is located. And then they tell them that there's a package of information there that they'd like to get their permission to open. And that's the first point in which they try to collect confidential information or identification information. Then once the package is open, they inform the mark that the package contains evidence that the mark has been involved in a financial crime or some kind of crime, and that they're a suspect and that they will be arrested and taken into questioning. The only difference is they're going to be investigated in China. So they connect them with the Chinese police department. Now, see that when people do this kind of things, they follow a model. So we talk about engineering your environment. Well, the same types of skills can be used to engineer other people's environments. But in the point of a scam or a fraud, it's done in such a way where they target an individual. That individual is called the mark. Now, with as readily available as data is today, in the case of the scam that targets Chinese Americans, these are actually foreign nationals that are in gangs or criminal organizations who will buy a mailing list, or they'll find the names on different websites that are associated with the Chinese American community, and they'll specifically target those individuals. Now, there's people in India that do the same thing. There's the Nigerian scam. There's a lot of targeting of immigrants in various countries. But the key to understand here is the individual who is targeted or made a mark when it comes to a scam, when it comes to identity theft, when it comes to some kind of financial crime, is nearly always a high-income professional or entrepreneur. Now, why is that? See, a lot of people said that money will get rid of some of your problems, but it actually creates new problems that you may not be able to handle. Now, my paranoid skills, I guess would call it, put me in the security industry long, long time ago. I worked for government contractors. I worked for U.S. and foreign militaries. I've worked for IT security. And this perspective that I have may be unique in the world of the general population, but in the security world, it's a very common perspective where we look at the angles of intrusion so that we can protect our company or protect ourselves from these types of things. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to use strategic relations to look both at how you can advantage yourself, but also how others can take advantage of those around you or even you. And this allows you to set up a layer of protection that it doesn't make you immune to theft. You know, the same time I was helping clients solve some problems associated with embezzlement and their computer security, I was getting taken by two employees for one got me for $60,000, the other got me for $70,000. Now, I was able to address and find the situation before it got any worse, but the problem was there. It was an issue that I was facing while I'm helping someone else solve the problem. Later in my work with a petroleum company, I was actually a salesperson, and I noticed that some weird things were happening with one of our vendors we bought parts from. And I raised the flag and I said, "Hey, look, there's something going on." And I gave the examples and I talked with the owner and I talked with the sales manager. And see, as a salesperson, it wasn't my place to raise the flag for this type of thing, but I did it anyway. And we discovered that one of the vendors had a procurement manager who was actually falsifying invoices. So they were invoicing the company I was working for parts and materials that we never received. And see, that leads to the process of inventory management. That leads to the process of how you handle your accounts payable. This turned out that this procurement person was actually defrauding our vendor of millions of dollars, and they ended up in prison. They ended up in jail. This is serious stuff. Recently, I noticed my passwords were getting changed. Somebody was attempting to change my passwords on Facebook. I personally am getting off Facebook. I don't need to be on any social media platform for any reason. And I tend to delegate use and access to my staff. And my staff have specific instructions that if they go to log into a platform and it doesn't work, to go ahead and notify me and we'll work it out. So I know it wasn't staff doing repeated attempts to recover a password. The point I'm making here is that while your life is extremely busy, you, as a high-income professional, are a target. There is a target on your back, because if you're going to steal money from somebody, you might as well steal it from people who have money. There is a bank robber of note who was asked, I don't have his name off the top of my head, but he was asked, why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is. Think about it. People commit crimes where the opportunity is highest. Now, not everybody's committing crimes. Of the total population, there's probably up to 10% at most who are criminally, enabled. And then there's 10% that wouldn't commit a crime, you know, even if their kids were starving. And the rest of the population is in the center, and it's really opportunity-based. So the best thing you could do to protect your interests, to protect your business relationships, to protect your customers, is to reduce the opportunity. And we do that through processes, systems, tracking, so the measurements that you use. And we do that through a level of awareness that is a little bit higher than the general population. I've seen people get a phone call and they look distraught and they said, I just got this phone call and they said my kid's in trouble and that they need bailed out and we want to keep this real quiet. And they just, you know, they recommended a lawyer. Should I call the lawyer? I'm thinking, well, you really should call your kid, you know, or do you know where your kid is? What's the probability of this happening? See, even asking those questions, I look like an insensitive bastard who doesn't care about their kid's situation. But that's the way the conversation was designed. You know, hello, I'm from the police department and your child's here for a DUI. How did they know they had a kid that could drive? Well, you can rent a mailing list of affluent professionals with children, and then you can select the age range for children with driver's licenses. It's not hard at all, folks. So all the things that I teach you here, some people were telling me, Justin, man, why are you so restrictive about these insights you're teaching people? They're really good to help business owners. Well, because they can also be used to defraud people. And that's why I'm screening people. That's why I will fire a customer. If somebody looks a little shady, I will fire them. See, you can get a lot of this information through research, through experience. I got a lot of this through mentors. In fact, growing up, I've had family members who worked for the Department of Justice. My grandfather, for example, was one of the authors in a program called the Rainbow Series, which was written for the NSA and written for the U.S. government for computer security. So I've been in this environment forever. So this is a common way of thinking. But if I see somebody, I have that uneasy feeling. And see, that uneasy feeling is the first clue something's not going well, and that you need to stop, slow down, and then work through a system of determining what is good, what is bad, what's going on here. So you know, maybe I'm a little hypersensitive to this type of thing, but when someone gets a phone call and they say, hey, their kid, you know, your kid is here right now and they've been pulled over for a DUI. Now there was an accident and someone was killed in the accident. We want to keep this quiet because the other person was a very high profile individual. And we suggest you get a lawyer. If you don't have a lawyer, we can recommend somebody. You've got to go and you've got to ask the question, oh my gosh, is little Larry okay? See, Larry is probably not your kid's name, you know, and they say, oh yeah, Larry's okay, but you're going to need to do something about this because we believe the other person is going to sue and they're putting a lot of pressure on us. And I have kids of my own. I'm just looking out for you. Oh my gosh, I hope Larry will be okay. What's the phone number I can reach you at? See, you want to be able to turn the table on these individuals and use social influence, use persuasion techniques, and use those things necessary to isolate the incident so that it provides minimal damage to yourself or to others. See, if your kid's name is James and you ask about little Larry and they confirm little Larry, what they have done is it's called cold reading, and they're setting you up to expose information. So if you expose the wrong information up front and they confirm the wrong information, you now gain the upper hand and you can play the conversation so that you can protect yourself and you can protect those around you. There are devices today where you can track your children, and there's devices that allow your children to push an alert. So if something happens, now, you know what, the average person doesn't need to worry about this, but when you're a high income professional, you start to become a target. When your net worth breaches $1 million, $2 million, $20 million, you start to become a target. And I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to understand that robbing from a wealthy home will net a thief better things than robbing a trailer park. You know, unless there's a meth lab in the trailer park, but people go to where the opportunity is greatest. That's what you do. That's what I do. But that's also what criminals do. And I want you to understand that strategic relations also provides you elements that reinforce your critical thinking, that help you establish, you know, it is emotional when you hear your child has been pulled over, or they were driving drunk and they killed somebody. That's really emotional, but you can step back from that and ask critical questions. Ask them to confirm information. Oh my gosh, I care about my child, but is the Mercedes okay? Were they driving the Mercedes or the Range Rover? Oh, they were driving the Range Rover. You know, or they could say, I don't know, because see, the criminals are not stupid. But small piece of information. They say, hey, look, we need to, on a financial fraud, the Chinese-American thing, they asked for some identification because they want to run it through the national database. This is somebody actually calling from China, a foreign national speaking Mandarin Chinese. They say, look, we need some identification so we can run you through the database to see if the claim is that your passport was stolen and used by a criminal, and they're framing you for this crime. Well, if you give the wrong passport information up front, a legitimate law enforcement group, first off, wouldn't be calling you. They'd just show up with a warrant. But a legitimate law enforcement group would know that passport numbers have patterns. And so you give them a passport number and they claim to run it through the computer system, and they come back with, oh my gosh, you've been associated with 5 crimes. Let me read off the list. See, if you gave them a bad passport number and they find the bad passport number in the computer, you don't have to let them know. You don't have to say, aha, I caught you, bastard. No, you play the game so that you now have taken control from the criminal and put it in your own hands, allow you to gather enough information that you can then engage law enforcement, proper law enforcement. Our friend that's had the issue with the Chinese consulate fraud, we are working with the Department of State and the FBI to solve that issue. See, you can't play around. Somebody tries to put fraud on you, you put them in jail. You shut them down quick. You make it clear that you're not a target. See, criminals are going to go after the easy money. You know, the reason they're criminals is they go after the easy money. They have skills, but they're lazy. The bottom line, folks, is I might sound paranoid, but I am, because there's a very real situation that you need to be concerned about, and it has to do with social engineering. It has to do with these techniques, and these techniques can protect you, and they could be misused. I'm going to teach you how to protect yourself. I'm going to teach you how to build a company. I'm going to teach you how to transform business relationships into profits. But if I ever catch any of you guys doing anything that's unethical, I'm going to shut you down. I'll send you to jail. It's just not acceptable. I'm Justin Hitt with Inside Strategic Relations. If you have any questions about this or any other program, contact our offices. Thanks for listening.